This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Today, don't they? What was that, 50 years ago? More than 50 years ago they sang that song? It's hard to believe it's more than half a century. Anyway, good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with Big Ed Davis, we both thank you for being with us today. It is Friday, March the 19th. Boy, there's a lot going on as usual. In a few minutes, we are going to be talking with Ed Heiselmeyer of the Heritage Foundation. And we're going to talk to him about the Obamacare exchanges 8 years after the passage of that notorious legislation. How are things going? Has it made things better? Is your health care cheaper now than it was 8 years ago? Lots of questions for us. And also, did you hear about President Biden agreeing that Vladimir Putin is a killer? Oh, yes, he's a killer. Well, the Russian leader now is demanding a live debate. He wants to talk one-on-one with Biden live. But Biden says he's too busy. He's too busy taking a nap. Anyway, we're going to talk about that and more with the proprietor of the Barber Pole, who is normally awake when he talks with us, Andrew Ceresi. And we have a good top 10. We have the top 10 economically freest countries in the world. We'll find out if Ed knows what's number one, or whether or not our country is even one of the top 10. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That is just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcast Drive. And you men, you want the best haircut? And I'll tell you what, it's a great price. You know, we always talk about how good the haircut is. The price is terrific. You will not find a better price. Seniors even get a discount on their haircuts. 727-733-3773. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so you guys, make a date. All right, I guess President Biden is quite busy. By the way, he called Kamala Harris president, did he not, the other day? Does he know what day it is? I wonder if somebody tells him, Mr. President, today is Friday, just in case you have to use the day during a speech. Anyway, the White House has seemingly turned down an invitation for a live public conversation with Russian President Vladimir Putin. They say President Biden is quite busy this weekend. Putin, yesterday, challenged Biden to an on-air conversation to discuss his latest warning that Putin would, quote, pay a price, unquote, following a report containing evidence of attempted Russian interference in the 2020 presidential election. Biden has also agreed that the Russian president was a killer. Now, he's right. Putin is a killer. I'll give him credit for saying that. He's right. What do you think, Ed?
I'm confused. So let me get this right. The Biden administration is accusing Putin and Russia with interfering in the 2020 election.
Yes.
Didn't they last week, out of the other side of their mouth, saying Trump has no case because this is one of the most one of the most
scandal-free elections. Legitimate elections.
Legitimate elections.
Yeah. Well, it's because it depends on what suits their purpose and their needs. Yeah. Well, that's the real answer.
I know hypocrisy. He plays a big role in that. Yeah.
You know, it's like statistics. They always say there are lies, great lies, and statistics. And I used to wonder, what do they mean by that? When I got older, I started to realize it. You can use any statistic to your advantage, you know, mm-hmm. and make it look good or bad or whatever you want to do. But I would be very interested. The only thing is that they'd have to have an interpreter there, right? But it still would be great. Wouldn't it be great to have the two of them sitting there and going back and forth? I tell you what, that would be very interesting, wouldn't it?
What would be a longer pause? Putin getting the exchange in the translation, or Biden coming up with an answer?
I would say Biden coming up with an answer, but you see, you got to wake him up first, mm-hmm. then repeat the question, mm-hmm. and then he takes time to answer it. So I would say that Biden taking the time to answer it.
And it would have to be on Zoom or something, because he wouldn't do it in person.
No, we'd have to do it with
Zoom.
He has
to have a prompter that you can't see.
By the way, didn't a lot of people get in trouble with those Zoom things because they were doing strange things while nobody was when they thought nobody was watching it or something?
Well, you have to be careful that, in other words, when you send out a Zoom meeting link, like if you, yeah. me, and Lola wanted to get on a link, mm-hmm. I would send it to your email and I would send it to her email. And then you'd click on it at a certain time. You just have to be careful.
You have to be ready.
That you didn't send it out to somebody else by accident.
Oh.
And then they send it out and they send it out.
Oh.
And they all jump on. And
so you have a bunch of people that are watching.
And you can tell who's on, but if you don't check it periodically, people can slide in there and you don't see them and they're listening.
I never thought of that.
Which is what happened with that school board situation.
Is that right?
Yeah, because they were saying some things about some parents,
yes.
that they hated, and
they
were using some foul language, and
it was a beautiful thing
said,
to see what they really thought.
All we are is they want their babysitters back.
Yes,
and then when they said,
they treated
this isn't private. This is going out to other people.
They treated the parents with absolute contempt.
And then the one lady goes, "No way!
They must have seen. They must have seen their careers dissolve." Right at that moment, they could visualize their careers dissolving.
It
at
wasn't
that
a question whether they were going to resign. It was just how fast.
I wonder if any of them quit before the Zoom broadcast ended.
All you heard was "no way," and then basically click.
No, this is. It's what we call the law of unintended consequences. Well, when you have this new technology.
When kids were at home and stuff, you know, you had your Zoom going on for class and your camera's running, and you forget that mom walks around the house topless half the time. She walks by the camera. You know, dad's walking without his trousers on.
Dad's bottomless. Mom's topless. Now, you know what? Ed, come on now. I got to ask you this. Would you pay to watch Putin and Biden talking to each other about these kinds of derogatory comments?
I don't think I'd have to pay for that, because we could watch that anytime. I mean, eventually he's going to have a presser. You know,
He's scheduled one, you know.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. they're warming him up for that.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, it's going to be interesting, very interesting. When and you know what's going to happen with that press conference. You just know it. They're going to all sit there on their hands, these media, these biased people, not like waving their arms when Trump was president, sitting on their hands, waiting to be called.
They'll have
a list. Okay, let's see. Well, now we'll call from NPR.
Right.
Now we'll call from Time Magazine. Now the New York Times,
Washington Post.
You're probably
going to see four friendlies to every unfriendly.
And okay. I can see the guy from Fox News waving his hand saying, hey, I have a question.
So you're going to get CNN, MSNBC, and what's the other one, C-SPAN?
Hey, by the way,
you'll get one from Fox.
Do they allow reporters from either Newsmax or One America News to show up? Are they banned from showing up, or do you know?
It's not a question of being banned. It's how legit your organization is to
Correct.
Get a press pass.
That's what I wonder. That's the question.
I wonder if
either one of them has a reporter in the pool.
I don't know.
Yeah. I would bet they don't. But I don't know either. Okay, why don't we take our break? I can't wait to talk with Ed Heiselmeyer. We're going to talk about Obamacare 8 years after it came to us.
I let him hold you tight. You can smile. Every smile for the man who held your hand.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Friday. Thank you so very much for being with us. And we're going to talk with Ed Heiselmeyer, who is a healthcare policy expert at the Heritage Foundation, about Obamacare, basically 7 years after. It's hard to believe it, 7 years ago that Obamacare, I would say, was foisted on us. Other people would say we were blessed with. I guess it depends on your point of view. But how is it doing? How are the exchanges doing? How about the cost? Have people really found, Obama promised, you know, a better situation, a lower cost, more access? Ed, welcome to Freedom Works. This is a very interesting topic. Overall, I would suspect maybe, despite all of the noise and sound and fury of Obamacare, that maybe people are not much better off than they were 7 years ago. What are your thoughts?
Well, it depends on who you mean by people. You know,
okay.
You're really dealing with two different groups of people. So let's go back to pre-Obamacare and say, well, who was buying coverage in the individual market? Because that's really what we're talking about here. It's not so much the employer market, though the small business market was hit as well, but the large employer market was largely untouched. And most people get their coverage through their employer. But people who are buying in the individual market prior to Obamacare were basically middle-class self-employed people that, and you know, who didn't have access to employer-provided coverage. So that group, plus maybe some people who, you know, were between jobs or had just gotten out of school or something like that and didn't have coverage. But it was basically a group of middle-class, self-employed business owners, folks like that. They needed insurance. They bought it on the individual market. They tended to be okay with having a deductible and maybe some, you know, not all the bells and whistles and benefits that you might get with an employer plan. They were concerned about, you know, keeping the price down. And they tended to prefer preferred provider type plans where you could pretty much see, you know, any doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So that was who bought before Obamacare. What Obamacare did was two things. It imposed a lot of regulations and mandates that made that coverage more comprehensive and more expensive and led insurers to narrow their networks. That was and drove up the premiums. That was a big negative for the folks who had been buying individual market coverage. The other thing that it did is it provided income-related subsidies, very generous, very substantial subsidies for lower-income people to buy into that market. So what you saw is essentially the overall market expanded, went from about 11 million people in 2013 to about 15, 16 million people. But it split roughly in half, about 8 million each, between the old market of self-employed people and this new bunch of basically low-income people with heavily subsidized Medicaid-like coverage. So that's where you're talking about two different markets.
Right.
So if you're talking about the old, the people who used to be in the individual market, yeah, they're big losers. If you're talking about people who were low-income and maybe uninsured or in those situations, they got comprehensive coverage at very little cost to themselves thanks to the structure of the subsidy.
Okay.
They were better off.
You know, I often wonder how much better off these people really are. If we had never had a government involvement, and I'm kind of libertarian about this. I don't think the government should be running an industry like healthcare. I think they make it less available and more expensive, just like any other product. I mean, if we're really honest about it, when you have choice in the free market and competition, you're going to get a better product at a lower price. It's just the law of economics. And even those that are on the poorer side, you know, think about all those people before 1965 and and Lyndon Johnson's Great Society programs. Were they really worse off? Were they not? Were they being turned away, you know, from hospitals? Were they dying on the streets? They were not. I would venture to say that their coverage was just as good as it is perhaps today. Maybe it was better. I don't know, because I think the doctors were probably a little bit better trained. But be that as it may, it goes back to government involvement in a product. And do the law of economics change because it's healthcare as opposed to, say, food or some other product? You know, I often wonder. Your thought?
Well, my thought is, when you talk about government involvement, you have to be clear as to what the government is doing, because some of it the government can do all right, and some of it it's really bad at. So you mentioned food. Let's use that as an example. Does the government try to help poor people by manufacturing or growing the food and manufacturing? No.
No.
What the government does is it gives those people some money to go buy food. Now, we call those food stamps or SNAP program, I guess is now what they call it, supplemental nutritional assistance. Now, are there problems with it? Yes. There's fraud, but there's problems are mainly things like the wrong people getting on the program, people who really aren't eligible, or fraud by, you know, the grocery store letting you use food stamps to buy cigarettes or something like that. But you haven't screwed up the system for growing and processing and packaging and delivering food.
Yeah, but what's the
situation in healthcare? The government is terrible at running an insurance plan. What it can do is maybe give people some money to buy one in the private market.
Yeah, and I should have used a better example. I didn't mean welfare checks to people to go buy food. I meant like in some countries where they actually take over production.
Yeah, no, that's that. But that's
now the government's job is not to take over any industry, and yet it is taking over healthcare. Right. You see, the laws are different for healthcare. For some reason, we'll leave other things in the private sector. But for some reason, the government now is allowed to take over a product like healthcare. And I would suggest there is no better reason to take that over than any other industry. Why not take over the construction industry and start running that through government? I mean, you'll end up with the most expensive things you can get, and you'll have a less available selection. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, no. You're absolutely right, and that's where the big divide is between the political left and the political right. I mean, there are folks on the political left who'd be happy to take over the construction.
I know they would. I'm beginning to worry that's where we're going.
Yeah. But no, that's exactly where the debate is right now. Is essentially, what the left is doing is pushing a vision where the government basically owns and operates the whole health system. Okay, and
well, of course,
headed with it. What the conservative, the right side, is doing is pushing the alternative vision, which is to say, well, okay, government might be able to help some people afford it, but you really want to deliver it privately. And so this is you know, we're seeing both of these things right now. So you've seen the expansion of Medicaid, which is a government-run program. Yet on the other hand, conservatives have been able to, in Medicare, get policies, Medicare Advantage, that effectively say, look, you're a senior citizen, you're entitled to Medicare. You're, as a part of this program, you can claim the value of your Medicare benefits and take that and go buy the private plan of your choice. Well, guess what? That's been incredibly popular and successful, and we're now at like 40% of Medicare are people who, rather than go through the government-administered system of Medicare, just use Medicare Advantage. They take the value of their benefits and they buy the private plan of their choice, and it delivers better results at a lower price. And so you see this contention, and you see efforts in both directions right now.
Right. We're talking with Ed Heiselmeyer. He knows what he's talking about. He's a healthcare policy expert at the Great Heritage Foundation. He penned a piece on their website about the Obama healthcare exchanges in 2021. And, you know, it says increased options, but still less than pre-ACA. So you see some good and you see some bad in it, Ed. But overall, the cost of healthcare, I mean, between 2013 and 2021, has gone up substantially for people, correct?
Well, that, you know, interesting you should mention that. That's actually the paper I'm working on right now. I interrupted my editing.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, on the data on that. Is the paper you mentioned that's been published is looking at the choice and competition in the exchanges. What we saw is a lot of insurers, because they were losing money, exiting the exchanges, you know, by 2018. In the last few years, 2019 to 2021, as the Trump administration helped to stabilize the market and as the insurers got a better handle on the costs, and raised their premiums to cover them, insurers have started to come back. So that's the choice and competition story, though. Basically, they're back to where they started in 2014 with Obamacare, which is less choice and competition than where we were in 2013 before Obamacare. On the premium side, what we're seeing is even after you adjust for inflation, the data I'm looking at is showing that even after you adjust for, you know, the general trend of healthcare costs going up because, you know, price inflation and new treatments and things like that, we're still looking at in 40 states, Obamacare more than doubled the cost of individual market insurance between 2013 and 2019.
Wow.
And that's after discounting.
So for all of the noise and all of the thunder and all of this and that and the other thing in an effort to supposedly help poor people, because that's what government involvement is all about. It's helping people that somehow aren't able to do it themselves, right? That's the whole concept of the government getting involved in a product, correct? That's the reason, because everybody else can do it on their own, right?
Subsidizing something, yes. Okay. That would be the rationale.
For all of this, are we one step better than we were, say, pre-1965 in terms of helping people with health care? I don't think so. I think the vast majority of people have suffered because of it. And it's like the war on poverty. If we went and looked at the percentage of people that are poor today with the trillions that we have spent on poverty and all of the programs, as opposed to before we started spending it, it's probably about the same place that it was.
Well, again, it depends on how you measure it. As my colleague, Robert Rector, who's, you know, one of the leading experts on welfare and wrote the welfare reform bill back in 96, points out, is that you can't spend that kind of money without having some effect. So the effect in the case of poverty is the American poor people live, people who are in on welfare in poverty live better than most people in most places in most of the world.
Yeah, but they did before too here in the, here in our country.
Materially, you know, they have cars and cell phones and stuff like that.
Right.
But the cost has come socially, and it has been devastating on families. It has, and on children has had dramatic effects. And again, this is you see this across. Not only the United States, but other countries. It doesn't matter race or location. What you see is that these kind of welfare policies have produced broken families or out-of-wedlock births far exceeding what they had been prior to the and the loss of marriage, far exceeding what they had been prior to the introduction of the policy. So while people may be materially better off in some respects, they're not necessarily better off
right.
in a holistic perspective. And that's the same thing in healthcare. I mean, you know, the government programs in healthcare have spent trillions of dollars as well. And there have been some benefits. I mean, in part, the downside has been it's made healthcare dramatically more expensive and inflationary. The good side is that money didn't, you know, buy nothing. A lot of the money that went into the medical industrial complex, if you will, in the 60s and 70s following the enactment of Medicare and Medicaid produced a lot of innovation that we benefit from today.
But I would suggest that you would have gotten more innovation even quicker without it.
Yeah, if you have freedom
in any product, you're going to get quicker innovation.
Right,
A government doesn't help innovation; it slows it down.
Yeah, as a rule, you're right, and
it's not as a rule, as a fact. If you get a third party involved, you're going to slow it down. It's just common sense will tell you that.
Yeah. Well, no, I would say the other point though is if you throw enough money at something, you know, you will have some effect. May not.
Yeah, but it's not a good one.
Sufficient way to do
it. It makes people dependent. You know, less responsible. If you're less, if you're more dependent and less responsible, you're not going to do well. And I mean, this is just the nature of the humanity.
Yeah, and that's the debate today. And that
shouldn't be a debate. It shouldn't be a debate. I mean, nobody will debate it because if. That's why I've always found it interesting that people that believe in a government-involved, top-down kind of approach never want to debate with people that believe in free markets. I have never seen them want to debate. They never want to debate. You know why? Because the logic, they have no logic to where they're going. No logic whatever. None. It's a one-sided situation because logic always falls upon the freedom and the, you know, competition and anyway, it brings out the best in us. But anyway, Ed, thank you so much. A very, very interesting conversation with you.
Well, thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure, and I hope we'll have a talk again down the road. Thanks so much.
Okay, take care.
All right, Ed Heiselmeyer. We're going to take our break when we come back. Putin, Biden. I'd like to see a 10-rounder between the two of them, but we'll talk with the proprietor of the barber pole, all about it, Andrew Ceraci.
Why do you build me up, but if I favor just to let me down?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tan Talk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday. Gee, it's great that it's Friday, right? Now we can all go out. Wait a second. We're still under the virus protection. Depends, of course, on what state you're in. Here in Florida, we can go out. And by the way, I guess there's a lot of people getting out there to Clearwater Beach.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. I mean, it really is. We've had relatively nice weather recently.
Yeah, but we're getting pressed for the wrong reasons.
We already
had some dopey kid from Lakeland get arrested on the beach, and then when the cops weren't looking, his buddies let him out of the back seat, and the dope is running down the beach like
with
he's
handcuffs
with
on.
Handcuffs. Like he's going to get away.
Did they capture it all on video?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. How far did he get? Did he get very
not far? Not far.
I wouldn't think so.
I just wondered where he was going to go next.
Yeah.
I mean, where do you really go?
You know what?
You got no shoes on, no shirt.
And it's hard to open a door when the police are chasing you and you got your handcuff behind your back.
Well, he was running on the beach. I think he was going to just try to blend in.
Oh, I see.
Maybe
with his handcuffs.
Yeah, that'll
work.
Well, he put his hands down his pants, the back of his pants, just like he's standing there. I don't know.
What a world.
But yeah, they're flocking to Clearwater
Beach.
They
are flocking there, huh?
Yeah.
Well, so far, have you heard any bad things about like virus spreading or anything because of
Dr. Fucci Fauci's always,
he's on the fence, off the fence.
It depends
on the day of the week that when you talk to him about it.
Word just came down just before you came in today that on Monday, Governor DeSantis will lower the age to 50 to get a vaccination.
Okay.
So,
and that means that they'll be available. Well, I mean, before, if you're under 50, though, can't you? You still get a vaccination?
Or no.
Is there some,
no.
Oh, no, you can't. Okay.
You have to be,
over a certain age.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
So that'll include you, right?
Barely, yeah. Barely.
In about 5 years, that'll include me. Yeah. That's great. Well, you know, I think everybody's looking at DeSantis these days because he seems to be, whatever he does, it seems to be working. And I think, as opposed to our friend in New York and the guy that's about to lose his job in California there, Governor, and they're doing this and that, this and that, and not and look what happens. They're going to be out. And DeSantis, you know, he's in. So.
Right.
Speaking about Ron DeSantis, we've got a friend of his, the proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Ceraci, is with us. Andrew, we had talked earlier about Vladimir Putin having a debate with President Biden over Biden's comment agreeing that, yes, indeed, Putin was a killer. And I said, well, he's right. Putin probably is a killer. What do you think?
Well, I don't think it's none of our business what they do over there, Paul.
Oh, okay. Well, he's been, hasn't he been poisoning a few of his enemies over there or something like that?
He's been accused of it.
Oh, okay. So he has nothing to do with it, right?
Paul.
What?
He's been accused.
Okay.
There's nothing definite. I mean, you know, you can't prove before you accuse somebody.
The guy was a KGP operative before he became president.
I understand what you're saying, but like anything else, proof. It was like our election. We knew it was fraud. Did we have proof?
Well, you know, it's a good question whether we had proof or not. Those that claim it was fraud say that they are not being allowed to prove it.
This is true.
You know,
we don't have proof.
That's why, as I had said to you before, I was kind of interested in Mike Lindell, because if he got to court and had a jury and everything, then he could bring in witnesses. Maybe we would hear some things that they were not able to present to a court before. But I haven't heard much about it since then. I guess the trial has not started yet or whatever it is with him,
well,
right?
They'll just censor that like they did the media at the murder.
Now, that's another story. Now, why are they that afraid of what is going on? Yeah, the answer is yes, they are that afraid of what is going on down there, that they are now censoring. And they claimed that they were going to be open and transparent. Remember that? How open and transparent they would be from day one, how open and transparent. Biden was talking about that all the time.
Well, the fact of the matter is, if they would have left all Trump's policies in place at the border, they wouldn't have this problem.
You are right on that.
Yeah. 6 hours after he got inaugurated, what did the moron do?
Oh, yeah. Well, he did all kinds of things, but that was one of them. He stopped the building of the fence.
That's right.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
He owns it, Paul.
Yeah, he does.
He tried to deny it, but he owns it.
That's true.
Look at what they tried to do. Look at this thing in Atlanta with the shooting with the Asians. Okay?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They caught the suspect. The media sits there and says it was 6 Asian people and 2 others killed. They're not saying the 2 others were white people.
Oh, no. I think Democrats get gleeful. I hate to say this, get gleeful when things like this happen. Because division is the substance and the sustenance of their whole philosophy. They got to divide people or they don't exist.
Here's another one for you, Paul. Monday night in Rochester, New York, Black Lives Matter burned a white man alive.
Oh, wow. I did not know about that.
National news at all.
I didn't even hear about it.
That's right, you didn't hear about it.
I did not. That's terrible.
Disgusting.
God. Disgusting isn't the word for it.
Well, they're only trying to cause division, race problems. Anything.
That I know.
Causing problems, divide this country, destroy the country, and that's all.
Well, now we're going to have the next week or two, we're going to be talking about how the Asian community is set upon. Because you had this nut in Atlanta that used to patronize all of these massage parlors go and shoot some of these women. I mean, all of a sudden, we got to talk about how we are now discriminating against Asians. Well, This is why we're dividing our country to the point, like you say, are we going to be able to rebuild it? I mean, we're going the wrong way with all of this.
Well, maybe President Harris will be able to take care of it. Yeah, Paul, they're doing nothing but taking this country into a tailspin. Everything that you see going on. And let me tell you something. Could you imagine Biden having a conference with Putin?
No.
Putin will make blind hamburger out of him.
Yeah, I think most people that can talk rationally would make blind hamburger out of him. I have yet to see him, except for a couple of aside remarks when he's walking away from the podium. I've yet to see him since the debate be completely unscripted. I mean, he's never unscripted. The guy can't, I don't know that he can think outside of a teleprompter. I'm beginning to wonder.
He can't. They know it. We know it. And it's just a question of time, Paul, before the people in this country stand up because they're seeing what's going on.
I think
even
you're right.
A blind person can see what is going on.
I think finally these, and I would like to use a kind word, these ignoramuses that voted for Biden are finally realizing what they have wrought.
Didn't vote for Biden. They voted against Trump.
True.
Yeah. And
but they didn't. But they were ignorant enough to think that Biden was going to be some kind of a savior.
Right. If that debate happened, Andrew, what do you think the over under would be that Biden calls Putin Brezhnev
or Khrushchev? He'd probably call him Khrushchev. Or how about Joe Stalin? We go back even further.
He has no clue of what's going on. You know, we're just sitting back here watching. I don't know if you've noticed now, but, you know, Ron DeSantis is the boy joy around this country right now.
He's the golden boy.
He's getting more news. He's getting just as much news coverage as Trump did, I think.
And all the great things he's doing for the virus here. And I mean, you know how many times Dr. Fauci has called him to see, maybe pick his brain a little bit? None.
No, Fauci's making money on this whole deal. And I don't know why he's bothered. What is he, 83 years old or something?
At least.
You saw Rand Paul make hamburger out of him.
That's another thing. Rand Paul did put his feet to the fire.
I mean, he's a medical doctor too, right?
He is a doctor.
Mistaken? Yes. And, you know, he knows just as much as Dr. Tucci there knows.
Yes.
We did change his name from Tucci to Tucci. You know what Tucci means in Italian, then you know what we're calling.
Yes, we better be careful about that. Hey, but speaking about that, did anybody watch the Grammy Awards? I don't know why I'm thinking of this.
Oh, no.
I didn't watch.
Did you hear about that song? Song they were singing?
The WAP song?
Yeah, the WAP song. Yeah. Holy Toledo. Yeah, how'd that ever... And
I haven't seen.
But Dr. Seuss, we can throw his books out.
Right.
Dr. Seuss, we can't even talk about Dr. Seuss and his books.
So can we just scratch out that part of the Dr. Seuss book and put WAP?
Yes.
Is that all right?
Paul, it's phenomenal what they're letting go on. It's ridiculous.
I want to say seriously for a moment here. If you look at Biden, the rare chance you have to look at him, like, say, coming off the helicopter or something like that, he looks physically drained already. I mean, seriously, I'm all fun aside.
I think he looks...
He looks like he's drained.
He looks pale. Yeah. He looks fragile.
He was walking very gingerly.
Yeah.
You know, no facial expression.
Now, there are times when he's stronger than others. You can see that.
You catch him in the morning.
But people that are... Yeah.
After Metamucil, you catch him in the morning.
There are times when...
Well, all you have to do is go to one of the local nursing homes and you'll see the same type of people.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's true.
They're not the president of this country.
So I wonder what Las Vegas odds are that Biden completes his term as president, at least in a rational way. You know what I mean?
They won't,
a year.
They won't even bet on that one.
Inside of a year.
It'll be interesting.
Even
healthy people are drained by
the
job.
He's already calling Harris, President Harris. That's how short his term is going to be.
Well, yeah, he's already making provision for that. Oh, Lord. Well, Andrew.
If you think it's bad now, you haven't seen nothing yet.
So, Andrew, is there any hope for this country?
Well, Paul, again, it's like I told you, the only hope I'm looking at right now is the next 2 years is Trump running for Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Republicans take over the Senate and the House.
I think there's a good chance they will.
Trump becomes Speaker of the House.
Now, that would be something. That would be something.
Camilla impeached. Trump takes the gavel away from Pelosi. He's president for 2 years. Then he runs with Ron DeSantis in 2024.
Well, I'm writing all of this down. This sounds pretty good.
Pelosi would throw a fit right there on the floor. She'd throw a fit right on the floor. Now, you got to remember, she's probably missing him by now because she's been sweet on him for so long. And she's not getting to see him, so.
That's true. There you go.
Paul, what is the news? What do they have to talk about? They're just sitting there now trying to blame the border on Trump.
Of course.
They can't sit there and tell you the truth.
No,
they've got nothing else to talk about.
They've completely lost their grip. That guy from the Department of Homeland Security, they made him look like a fool. He knows that there's a crisis down there. Jen Psaki, the media spokesman for Biden, knows there's a crisis. She even used the word crisis, and then she caught herself. She pulled back on the word. What a bunch of... And they think people are that stupid?
Like this one time at band camp?
I'll tell you what. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I mean, if you think about it, when we talked before, we were talking about all the good Trump was doing and what's happening. We're running into things to talk about anymore.
I know.
They're not doing any good, and everything is nothing but negative.
It's very scary. It's very scary. And then they shut down the journalists from even talking about it. They won't allow journalists to come down there and look.
Wow.
They're actually keeping the media away, the journalists away, the press away from coming down to view what's going on
down there.
Don't
you remember when Trump was in office, how many times AOC would do a live feed or something like that about the children that are being kept from their parents down there? Not once has she done it since Biden's been in office.
Of course not.
That just goes to show you she's not that stupid, is she?
No, she's not. No, she's not. Boy, do we miss Trump.
We claim her to be a dummy, but let me tell you something. She's a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Well, she can't be a dummy to become a congressman like she became. You know, after being a bartender or whatever she was, she had, you know, she's got some skills, let's face it. Anyway. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, Andrew, and I'm looking forward to Monday.
You got it, Paul. We'll see what happens. Look up that story I was telling you about Rochester, New York.
I am going to, as a matter of fact. I did not hear about that. That's horrible.
Beijing, you don't hear a word about.
Not a word. That's. It reminds me. Do you remember when that black guy picked up a little kid in that shopping center and threw him over the
In the mall. Yeah.
In the mall. Threw him over. Did you hear much about that? No. Was there any outrage about that? No. Can you imagine a little six-year-old child? He picked him up and he threw him over the thing, the banister,
the railing.
Railing. Thank you. Terrible.
All Democrat-run cities, Paul, where you see all this stuff going.
It's horrible, I'll tell you.
That ought to be proof right there.
All right, my friend. Thank you so much. We'll talk Monday.
Be good.
All right. There he goes. He makes a lot of sense, and he's still got his energy. That's good to hear. Maybe Andrew should run. You never know. Anyway, let's take our final break. When we come back, the top 10 economically freest countries in the world.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday. And by the way, if you can't hear us live, you can listen to our podcasts anytime you want. Big Ed sets up every show. OurFreedomWorks.com. That's the website, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. So, Ed, you must be excited. Because look, we're going to have nothing but weekend college basketball for you to watch. And you can watch women's basketball or you can watch men's basketball.
I could also watch paint dry, the grass grow.
Yeah, all of
which
that.
Which would probably be more, or maybe a nice root canal.
Well, you can watch hockey. And when is the baseball season starting? That's going to be starting fairly
soon.
What
is it, less than a week and 10 days?
Okay,
like
are you counting the days for that? We got a good team, man.
I just hope. It's going to be with limited fans again. So I just want us to get over this thing. You know.
Oh yeah.
And I can't wait. Texas is open. You know the bottom hasn't fallen out in Texas. It's been a week now or so since they opened up everything. You know.
Yep.
And
Texas
we
is
don't
doing
see a
okay.
Spike and yeah. So I know Governor Santis is doing it.
He's trying
his
to.
Way, and I trust him.
Yeah.
I just wish it could be a little faster.
Yeah.
You know. At some point, when we get to, when he gives the okay, now anybody can go get a vaccine, I think that at that point, these teams and these sports leagues need to think about, okay, well, let's open it all up.
Yeah.
You know.
And in certain cases, like last night when the Tampa Bay Lightning were playing the Blackhawks, there were some fans in the...
3,800.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at least it's some.
Yeah, I think the Rays will probably be looking at... I don't know if I saw the number or not, because they have a capacity of 28,000, so you'll probably be anywhere between 5,000 and 7,000 fans.
When?
For the Trop.
Oh, I see what you're
for
saying.
Home games,
yeah, for the home games.
And then we're going to have the Blue Jays playing right down the street. They're going to open the season here in Dunedin.
And then when so do we go to Montreal? When do the stadium. Rays go to Montreal to play their games?
Well, right now we can't. Ain't nobody going to Canada.
No, I know. Isn't that crazy? Mm. Poor Canada. They can't have their teams play there if they're all their players are down
right,
here.
Right.
That's crazy. All right. Well, it is time for the top 10 economically most free countries. Now, this was done by, speaking of Canada, a very respected institute. It's the Fraser Institute of Canada. And they came up with these countries that economically are doing the very, very best. So let's see what countries. Let's see if the U.S. is even involved in the top 10. Here we go. Number 10, Ireland. Ireland. Always doing well. They encourage businesses to come to their country. They have low tax rates for them and incentives.
Plenty of beer.
Yeah. Oh, that's the other thing. And no snakes.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 9. Canada. Canada made it. Oh, by the way, there is a 10 being a perfect score. Ireland 8.13 and Canada is 8.17. Okay. Number 8. Now, this one shocks me. It is one of the former republics in the Soviet socialist chain. It's Georgia.
Mm.
Georgia, which has gone apparently completely capitalistic over there, 8.18. By the way, you know that Joe Stalin was born there. Good old Uncle Joe Stalin. All right, number 7. Mauritius. It's an island country. Mauritius. 8.21. Number 6. America, United States. That's where we are. Right in the middle of the top 10. 8.22. I'm glad to see that we're doing okay and we're still economically in the top 10.
That might have been taken a while ago, that poll, before Biden got in office.
It actually was.
Now it's
if you want
tank.
To know the truth, I know. They haven't taken it recently. It's getting less free, that's for sure. Number 5. Down under, Australia. Somehow Australia, you know, gets its way out there, but it does pretty well. It seems to be doing okay. Number 4, Switzerland. Now, Switzerland's where the banks, so all those banks are, and they've always had a low tax rate. A lot of wealthy people live there. 8.43. Number 3. New Zealand, not far from Australia. They have the same kind of methodology, perhaps, in New Zealand, 8.53. Number 2, Singapore. It's a thriving Chinese, on the edge of the Chinese area there. And so far, they've been allowed to be free. I always worry about Singapore. All right, Ed.
I'm going to go with Japan.
Ah, that's a good idea. Roll the drum. So you go with Japan, and I will go with Hong Kong.
Well, Hong Kong was my second choice.
Well, good, because Hong Kong is 8.94 out of 10. That's pretty good. But I'm worried about Hong Kong. Talk about mainland China creeping in there and doing more and more and more. But so far, so good. Hong Kong, on Monday we're going to do the top 10 least economically free countries.
You said Ireland has no snakes?
Well, technically, did you not hear the thing about St. Patrick driving the snakes out of Ireland?
Because my favorite island of St. Croix in the Virgin Islands there had no snakes.
Really?
And then somebody...
St. Croix?
Yeah, now there's snakes there.
Somebody brought snakes.
So they're actually breeding extra mongoose, because that's the natural enemy
of the snake. Yeah, they are, the mongoose, yeah.
Yeah, so the mongoose, they've kind of upped their...
I can't believe it.
Of Viagra, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe that's it. Well, listen, we're going to be back on Monday. Thank you so very much. Be safe this weekend, and always remember freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by...